The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Gospel of the Lord. As you go, Jesus told his apostles, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's possible to be so familiar with an idea that you don't even realize that you don't know what that idea even means. Kingdom of heaven is such an idea as that. First of all, you're very familiar with it. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, it appears 120 times in the New Testament, 99 times in the Gospels. Happens to be very, very important to Christ. 90 of the 99 times that the phrase kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is used in the Gospel, it comes from the mouth of Christ himself. And picture this. Jesus, who's gone to all the trouble of coming down from heaven to earth, all the trouble of being raised for 30 years in his home in Nazareth, leaving the Blessed Mother behind now, began his public life, fasted in the desert, gathered around himself 12 apostles, taught them and instructed them, and the moment that he sends them out, what's his message? Your message is to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the number one message that he has to tell people. So that's a pretty darned important message. But do you know what it means? Sure, I know what it means, you think to yourself. Sure, I know what it means. If I were to step aside, let you stand up here at the pulpit, hand you the microphone, all eyes are on you, and now you're going to explain, what's the kingdom of heaven? You think you could do it? Or you think maybe you need a little bit of help? Let's take a closer look just to understand. But first, an aside. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. The Gospel uses both phrases. Are they the same thing? Or do they mean different things? Well, that one's easy. They mean the exact same thing. Only the Gospel of Matthew says kingdom of heaven. All the other Gospels say kingdom of God every single time. And the reason, a simple reason, is because Matthew was written to a Jewish audience, and Jews, out of devotion, would not say the name of God. They would say Adonai, or they would say Lord, but they wouldn't say the name of God out loud. And you know, out of respect for that, Matthew says, kingdom of heaven. Right? It's a kind of a circumlocution. It's a substitute for the word God. But kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, what is it? What's it mean? Well, the one who helps us with this more than anyone else is Pope Benedict. He wrote about it a lot in his books, Jesus of Nazareth. There were several of those books. And he said the idea refers to three things, simultaneous and overlapping complementary things. First of all, the kingdom of heaven refers to Christ himself. It was hard for people to understand that God himself had come down to earth. It was a tough pill to swallow. And so God was very general about it at first and kind of gradually revealed it. So when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is in your midst, first and foremost, he refers to himself in a veiled fashion. Secondly, the kingdom of heaven refers to God's presence in your soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. Another absolutely impossible idea for an Old Testament mind to wrap their mind around. The idea of God was so holy that you couldn't look upon the face of God and live. The idea that God would dwell within you. They weren't quite ready for that straight, right? So it was a veiled idea. And the third thing the kingdom of heaven refers to is, quite simply, the church. Now this is at once the easiest and the hardest to understand. First of all, it's the easiest to understand that the kingdom of heaven is the church. Because if you stop and think about this for a moment, there really was a kingdom, historically speaking, that Jesus started, and it's still here. Everybody acknowledges it, no matter what they believe. It couldn't be more clear. This kingdom has land. This kingdom has buildings. This kingdom has citizens. This kingdom has laws. You ever heard of the code of canon law? This kingdom even has ambassadors. You ever heard of a papal nuncio, right? What's a papal nuncio? A representative of the Pope to a country. Or, you know, you hear of the U.S. sending an ambassador to the Vatican. They're not really an ambassador to a tiny little plot of land on the Iberian Peninsula. They're a representative of the country to the person of the Pope. And of course, what would a kingdom be without a king? Does the church have a king? Yes. Who is the king? Christ is the only king, make no mistake. But this king has a stand-in, or in other words, a vicar. And that's who we say the Pope is. He, ever since St. Peter, he's the one who stands in and makes judgments on behalf of the real king until the day that king comes again. And you know what's kind of interesting? Like I said, this is visible to everyone in the whole world. Did you know that in Mandarin Chinese, the word for pope literally is the king of the Roman religion? So, yeah, God's established a real kingdom, and it's plain and it's painfully obvious. It's easy to see. But it's also hard to see because you know as well as I do, the weeds are mixed in with the wheat, and there's a lot of fault that's got to be scrubbed out of the church with very strong soap. But we don't want to lose sight of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is also the church. So why is this the first proclamation that the apostles are given? Go out and tell this to the whole world. And by the way, did you know this is still the central proclamation of our church? The kingdom of heaven is in your midst. The reason why it was the first proclamation of the apostles was because every Old Testament soul was longing for the day in which God would reign in their midst. Everybody knew God had a kingdom in heaven. But what people wanted was that God's rule would be clear and visible right here on this earth. That's what Jesus told his apostles to proclaim. The day has come. And believe it or not, that is still our central proclamation here in the church. Understand that the kingdom of God is present in the church. Now, don't get bogged down by bad members of the church, whether they wear mitres or collars or whether they just sit in pews. Don't lose sight of this fact. The church teaches God's truth. You will not find greater truth or greater love proclaimed anywhere by anyone. And don't lose faith. You know, if you had a doctor who proclaimed to you, who prescribed you the perfect medicine, it wouldn't really matter to you whether that doctor was personally, physically fit or not. Right? I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but don't lose heart. The kingdom of God is still present in the church. Secondly, he's present in the sacraments. I like what St. Augustine said. You feel bad you didn't live in the time of the apostles. You feel bad you didn't get to actually see Jesus face to face. Don't feel bad. That privilege has not, in fact, been denied you. He's actually really here. And of course, most importantly, perhaps most importantly of all, God is present within your soul by grace. The most important spiritual question you want to ask yourself all day long is, are you present to Him? Now, we keep trying to find God in extraordinary things. But there's a fact that the saints tell us over and over again. If you can't find God in ordinary things, you're not going to find God at all, because that's where he's found. And yet we keep trying to find God in extraordinary things. I remember when I was in the monastery, right? You got all the monks, they chant, everything's very prayerful, everything's very reverent. And wouldn't you believe it? A lot of the people, the areas that live nearby, came to Mass at the monastery instead of going to their local parish. And it turns out that they thought their local parish was just too ordinary. They wanted something special. Somebody needs to remind them, if you can't find God in the ordinary, you can't find God at all. A lot of marriages strain and even fall down because they can't get over the fact that it's so ordinary. But understand, if you can't find God in the ordinary, you can't find God at all. He's present to you. It's the first proclamation of the apostles, the central proclamation of the church, the question you want to pray about all day long. Are you present to him? The kingdom of God is in your midst. Let's pray for the grace to see it, to realize it, to live it, right here and right now. St. Augustine Jean Companions, pray for us.